Well, look at it first today, verse 4, John's Gospel, chapter 9, and verse 4, the words of the Lord Jesus. And he said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. This whole chapter 9 of John's Gospel is given over entirely to the healing of this blind man by the Lord Jesus Christ. John's Gospel is the only one to record this marvelous miracle. The Lord Jesus Christ came in contact with this man. As it says here, he was blind from birth. Well, the Lord Jesus came in contact with this man and gave him back his sight. It is also one of these miracles that the Jews were told to expect that the Lord Jesus would do when he came here amongst his people. Because it says over there in John's Gospel, and the Gospel of Luke, and the chapter 4, remember the Lord Jesus Christ was in the synagogue. And he quoted from a passage in the Bible, the book of Isaiah. And he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind. And so the prophet said that the Lord Jesus would come, and he would come to preach the gospel, and he would come and he would give back the sight to the blind. And here's the Lord Jesus Christ along with his disciples one day, and he comes across this man, and he's blind from his birth. And the Lord Jesus gives him back his sight. It is seen there in the verse 7. The Lord told him to wash in the pool, and it says, and he washed and came seeing. What a wonderful change in his life. What a remarkable transformation has happened to this man. Because for year after year and day after day, he has sat in blindness, he has sat in darkness, and then suddenly now he can see. I don't believe any words of mine or any words of yours could describe the feeling that this man had when he got back his sight. A great change was seen in his life that everybody saw and everybody was talking about. The change that was wrought in his life. Now, at the very commencement of this chapter, we read of the Lord Jesus and his disciples, and their conversation about this blind man was, why was this man blind? Because when the disciples came up the road and they saw this man blind from birth, well, they were struck with curiosity. And they says to the Lord there in verse 2, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? In other words, they're saying, Lord, whose fault is it? Here's a man and he's blind. But why is he blind? Why is it that this man can't see? Is it because of some great sin that he's committed? Or is it because of some sin of his parents? You see, they just want to know why he was blind. But you know, the Lord Jesus Christ did not want to be drawn into a lengthy discussion about this matter, why he was blind. No, he said to him there in verse 3, neither had this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God be made manifest in him. He just answered their question very briefly and very shortly. You see, the Lord Jesus had something more important to say to those people. Now, the Lord could have stood and talked to his disciples a great discussion why this man was blind and describe all this about blindness. But you see, dear friends, the Lord Jesus had a more important lesson to say to these disciples. He had a more important thing to bring before his disciples. No, he says to his disciples, I must work the works of him that sent me. Why did his day, the night cometh, when no man can work? And he says to his disciples, listen, I must work. You may argue and you may talk, but you know, I must work. My work must go on. And the Lord Jesus went on in his work in healing this blind man. But what a statement that fell from the lips of Christ concerning his work. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. And so it is to the Lord Jesus Christ and his work that we want to look at today. First of all, we want to notice about the Christ work, his routine in his work. You see, as you and I would lift this Bible today and look through its pages, we can see how the Lord Jesus Christ worked and how he served his Father God in heaven. Because the Lord Jesus says here, I must work. Well, how did he work? And what is the example for my life? And what is the example, child of God, for your life and our work for God? Well, his routine and his work, we can see that first of all, he worked compassionately. The Lord Jesus Christ, we can say here without fear of contradiction, he worked with a great love in his heart for those who were in need. He is one who had a great burden in his heart. He is one who had a great love in his heart for those who needed Christ, for those who were sinners. Well, we can see this even in verse 1, because it tells us here, and Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from birth. You notice, here's the Lord Jesus going through with his disciples. The disciples are all around him. I'm sure there are many distractions. I'm sure there are other people about. But here's the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's going about, and we can say he's doing this work, and he saw a man. He saw a man who needed help. He saw a man in great distress. He saw a man, dear friends, that needed his love. And so the Lord Jesus Christ says, I must work. He worked impatiently. The disciples, as we said in their introduction, they were more interested. Why, Lord, why is this man blind? Why was it? They didn't say to the Lord, what about you helping this man? They didn't reach to the master and say, we have found a man who is blind. Surely you can give him back his sight. You see, they didn't have the compassion of the Lord. They didn't have the compassion of Christ. But the Lord Jesus said, I must work. And he worked impatiently. And he felt a great sense of pity and love towards this man. You can see this even throughout the Bible, because over in Matthew 9 and verse 36, a wonderful verse, it speaks of the Lord Jesus. But when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. And here's the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's doing his work again, and a great multitude of people is brought before his eyes. And no doubt there was mums and dads, and no doubt there were children. And he sees this great multitude, and the Bible tells us he was filled with compassion. Why? Well, he tells us why. Because they fainted. And because they were scattered abroad, as sheep having no shepherd. He saw people lost. They fainted. They were held in bondage of sin. He saw them, dear friends, on the way to hell, and he was filled with compassion on them. And so the Lord Jesus said, I must work. We can say his work, that he worked compassionately. Yes, I am going to work, he says, but I'm going to work compassionately. And oh, child of God, in this service, God has saved you and I. A few years ago, perhaps, many of us were still in the bondage of sin. Still on that broad road that leads to hell. You know, the Lord, in his mercy, has saved us. And oh, that you and I then would rise out of our bed each day, and that we would say, like Christ said, you know, I must work. I must do something for the Lord. I must give my testimony to others. I must tell men and women and boys and girls about the Lord Jesus Christ and about the blood of the Lamb. I must work. But all that I have worked compassionately. You know, friends, we can do the work of God, but we mightn't do it compassionately. But all that we would have a burden for the lost. All that we would see people marching, running towards that horrible pit called hell, and see them going there, friends. We can see our loved ones, we can see our neighbours, we can see friends, and they're all heading towards eternity. Oh, that you and I would be like Christ. Oh, that you and I would have a great burden for their soul, and that you and I would work compassionately. You know, the Apostle Paul said in Romans 10, verse 1, "Brother, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." That's what he saw. He saw his fellow countrymen, and he saw them lost, and he saw them dear friends without Christ. And he says here that his very heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. And you only have to read through the life of Apostle Paul, and you can see that he worked, but that he worked compassionately. And you can read about him crying, and he tells the people about that night and day with tears he warned them. You see, he worked compassionately. What about you and I, child of God, in the meeting? Have we got a burden for the lost souls of men and women? Have we got it? When's the last time we cried for their soul? You know, we take our loved ones to the grave, we'll weep, we'll cry, and there's no doubt about that. But what about weeping over their souls now while they're living, while there's still hope? Oh yes, the Lord says, "I will work. I'm going to work compassionately." I know that you and I would do our work for God compassionately and feel a great love for those who's lost. But he worked not only compassionately, he worked constantly. Now, the Lord Jesus was always at his work. He never seemed to have an idle moment, and he always seemed to be constantly at his work. It says in there, Matthew 9 and verse 35, "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people." Read that one verse. Can show us here that here is one who's constantly at his work. And it tells us he went into all the cities and all the villages and all the towns, and he preached the gospel and he's healing the sick. You see, the Lord Jesus says, "I must work, but I'm going to work constantly." He was always at the work, always reaching out to those who needed help, always preaching the gospel of good news and of saving grace. You can read there in John chapter 3, it's night time, and Nicodemus comes to the Lord at night. The Lord didn't say, "Well, I'm too busy." He didn't say, "Well, I'm just about to lie down for a sleep." No, you see, he worked on, even at night. It tells us there in John 8 and the verse 2, "And early in the morning he came again onto the temple." Early in the morning. The Lord is up again early in the morning, and he's back again at the temple, and all the people's all around him, and he's working. You think there in John chapter 4, it tells about him sitting down at a well. Disciples away to get some food, and a woman comes to draw water. You see, the Lord, he even was working on and preached to that woman. And what we're saying here, he used every opportunity he had to work. He used every opportunity. No matter, dear friends, if it's some city or some village or sitting at a well or in some place at night, he used every opportunity, and he was constantly at the work. I know that you and I who saved, that we have worked like Christ, that we would do work for Christ at all times. I know there's time for holidays, but I'm just off my holidays and all the rest of it. But what I'm saying is that you and I would use every opportunity to witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, if I ask for a show of hands among God's people here this morning, who witnessed for the Lord during the week? Who told a sinner about being saved? Well, there were many hands go up. But if I ask the question this morning, who had opportunity to witness? That says a lot of hands go up. But you didn't take the opportunity. You didn't speak a word. Friends, we can witness for the Lord everywhere. Young Christian in the meeting, at school to your friends, on the bus, other people at work, at home, in the shops. There's everywhere. You see, we should work like Christ, and we should work constantly. And when the opportunity is given to us. Then we should speak a word for Christ. I remember one time being in the dentist, and it's not great to go to the dentist, and these two or three things stuck in your mouth. But that didn't stop me speaking a wee word from him. He asked a few questions about something, and I started to talk to that fellow about the Lord and about being saved, even in the dentist with all that happening. And I remember my wife phoned looking for me. She wondered where I was, but that was where I was. And the dentist lifted the phone and he told his operator, he says, "I'm not getting the Sermon on the Mount, I'm getting the sermon on the chair." And that's what he was doing. You see, there's always a wee word we can say. There's no doubt about it. When God opens up the opportunity. And the Lord Jesus says, "I must work," and he worked constantly. And when you and I should work on too, even when we see no results. Sometimes we go out, and I do this myself, as you know, doing missions, and we think, well, everybody's going to get saved. The whole town's going to come to Christ. But you soon find out they don't. But friends, we should work on. Even in those times of times when there's no results, we should serve the Lord and keep on working the Lord. Even think about missions. God's people seems to come alive, and it's great, and they pray, and they bring sinners to the meeting. But after the mission's over, they seem to stop the work of God. No, that should not be the way of it. The work should go on. And we should work like Christ. We should work constantly. But not only did the Lord work constantly, he worked courageously. Now, not everybody was glad to see the Lord Jesus Christ coming into their town. It must have been good, by the way, to see Christ coming. Coming into some village, coming into some city or some town, and performing all those great miracles. Man, when you thought the crowds would have loved to see him. But it wasn't always the case. No, we can read in the Bible here, in John chapter 9, I'm sorry, John 8, in verse 59, then they took up stones to cast at him. They tried to stone Christ. They hated him. They hated the very message that he preached. They hear the very things that he said and the things that he stood for. And here was these people, and they took up stones and to stone the Lord Jesus Christ. And you can read in John's Gospel, chapter 10. Remember, he said, "I am a father of one." And they took up stones again to stone him. And so the Lord Jesus was persecuted. Well, we needn't think everybody's going to welcome you and I with open arms. Not a bit of it. Even the blessed Master, the Lord Jesus, they took up stones to stone him. Remember over in John's Gospel, chapter 11, and verse 7, he said to the disciples, "Let us go into Judah again. Let us go into Judea again. Let us go." And what did they say? "Lord, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again?" Perhaps they couldn't understand what the Lord has said. He said, "Let us go into Judea again." I said, "Lord, remember the last time we were there? Remember how the people took up stones and they sought the stones and take away our lives? What are you going back in there for?" But you see, friends, the Lord Jesus worked courageously. He didn't let the opposition put him off. No, he went on in the work. And oh, that you and I would get this same spirit of boldness that Christ had. And that you and I, dear friends, would work courageously, with great boldness. Man, the Bible says, "The fear of man, it bringeth a snare." And no doubt about that. But oh, that you and I would be bold for Christ. And that you and I would work with great courage for Christ. And trust in the Lord at all times. And that we would work courageously. And say, "I must work." And don't let this opposition of the world, the devil, or the flesh put us off. But that we would work courageously and go on in the work of God. I must work. We can see the Lord Jesus Christ also in his routine of his work. He worked heartily. Because the Lord Jesus Christ did his work, we can say he did it with all his heart. And he loved the work that he was given to do. Because he did not say here, "If I may work." He did not say, "If I like to work." But you know what he said? He says, "I must work." You see, the Lord Jesus was going to do his work. And he was going to do it with all his heart. And he's going to work heartily. That's why it says in John 2, verse 17. He said, the seed of thine house hath eaten me up. The seed that was in his heart. And when he did his work, he did it heartily. I know that you and I, child of God, would do God's work with all our heart. Notice it says in Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 10, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. And Paul said to the Colossians in Colossians 3 and verse 23, and whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. Whatsoever ye do, do it heartily. Do it with all your heart. That's the way we are to do our work. Sunday school teacher. People who teach a young in the church. Good news clubs. The Bible says whatever you do, do it heartily. Do it with all your heart. But you know, if we're all honest, all God's people this morning, we have to say there's times we have not enjoyed the work of God. We have to say there's times with shame that God's work has been a toil to us. It's been a real toil. And somebody perhaps has said to you, well, would you come and help us do the children's work that it seems to be starting up in this church? And it's been a real toil. You know, I have to go to that old children's meeting and sit with all those wee noisy boys and girls. And it's been a real toil. But friends, it should be a real joy that God has given you something to do. And no doubt, the children's meetings have been starting up in this church, the youth meetings, the open air, or the out the door-to-door work, and so on. Listen, friends, let's all do a work for God. And let's do it with all of our hearts. And be like Christ. And do our work heartily unto the Lord. The Lord Jesus did his work something else. He did it perfectly as well. Because the Lord Jesus Christ worked, that is correct, but he did not work without prayer. Over there in Mark chapter 1 and the verse 35, it says, and in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there prayed. Now, here's the Lord Jesus Christ. He had a great busy day's work in front of him. But he rises up a great while before day to pray. You see, he realized he had to work. But dear friends, he realized that the work of God and prayer, it goes together. And so he gets up here early in the morning and he goes and he prays. And he cries unto his God or to his Father in heaven. No doubt to guide him and to help him in the work. And you can read in Luke chapter 6 and verse 12 about the Lord praying all night. So the Lord Jesus worked, but he worked prayerfully. They go hand in hand. There was work in one hand, but he prayed on the other hand. And there was times he went into that closet, into that secret place, the place of prayer, and he cried unto his Father in heaven. He worked prayerfully. And oh, dear friends, if we're going to work for God, we need to pray. That's the secret. That is the secret of success. That is the secret of doing God's work. We need to pray. And that's why it tells us many, many times in the New Testament that we are to pray. In Ephesians 6 and verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplications in the Spirit. We are to pray. Yes, the Lord Jesus said, I must work. I must work. I must do a work. Tell me, child of God, do you feel that you must work for the Lord? Do you feel? You say, no, there's something I'd love to do for the Lord. I don't know what I can do. But you know, there's something we all can do. I remember meeting a man one time and he said he couldn't get up in front of people. Not everybody can. But he says, I get gospel tracts. And he says, I get the telephone book out and I just pick people out at random. I don't know them. I put gospel tracts into an envelope and I just write an address on it and put a stamp on it and send them out. And so all of a sudden people were getting this letter through their doors with gospel tracts, but didn't know who sent them. But he was working. There's always something. No doubt they need helpers, perhaps, to sit them on the young people on the bus, bring them in their car. Friend, there's something we all can do. See, the Lord Jesus said, I must work. And all that you and I would make this our motto every day, that you and I would put our feet onto the floor in the morning and say, I must work. I must work today for the Lord. Help me, Lord, to be a witness today for thee. Help me, Lord, to do something. This was a routine in the work of the Lord. But then we want to notice the reasons for his work. He says in verse 4, I must work the works of him that sent me. You see, the Lord Jesus did this work, you see, because he was sent here to do a work. His Father had a lot of work for him to do. And this was the reason that he worked, because he came to do his Father's will. The Lord didn't send him here for a holiday. No, he came to this earth to do his Father's will and to work. Now remember early in his life, when he was only 12 years old, remember he was lost from his earthly parents. They found him in the temple. And he said to him there in Luke 2 verse 49, wish ye not that I must be about my Father's business, even at early age. At 12 years old, young people, take notice of that. Even at your early age, young age here today, you can serve the Lord. Because here's the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's 12, but he's about his Father's business. You see, he came to do his Father's will. Many times he spoke about that. You always read, especially in John's Gospel, the Lord said in John 6, verse 38, for I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. I came to do my Father's will. And here's the reason then that he worked. Here's the reason that he came to this earth. He didn't come to live as to please himself, but he came to do the will of his Father. This was the reason he worked. But we know the reason that he worked. Another reason was that sinners will be saved. That's why Christ said, I must work. The determination, dear friends, that in those words of Christ, because the Lord Jesus Christ realized if he doesn't work, he realized the sinners will not be saved. His work was essential. He must go to Calvary. He must be punished for our sins. He must, dear friends, he must shed his precious blood. And if he doesn't work, then you and I will go to hell. And that's why Christ said, I must work. His work was absolutely essential in order that salvation could be obtained for sinners. Can we say to all of us here today, the reason that you and I should work? Because God has commanded us that we do so. You know, the Lord has not left you and I in this earth to be idle. And many people are. Settled on their lees. The Lord hasn't. If the Lord wanted you and I, the day he saved us, he could have took us straight to heaven. You see, he hasn't finished with us here. And he's left us on this earth, child of God, who's saved here today. He has left us here on this earth that you and I may work and serve him in some way. Matthew 21 and verse 28 says, son, go work today in my vineyard. Go work today. Apostle Paul says in Acts 9 and verse 6, Lord, what will I have me to do? Friend, this is the reason you and I should work, because there's something that God wants all of us to do, and we need to pray that prayer then. Lord, what will I have me to do? I remember praying that a few years back now. Lord, what do you want me to do? And the Lord called me to be a preacher. But you can ask the Lord, Lord, what do you want me to do? Do you want me to go around the doors and give out tracts? Do you want me to sing for you, Lord? Or do you want, Lord, just to pray? Perhaps there's some people unable to do these other things, but friends, you can pray and get a list of people and say, Lord, I'm going to pray for these servants of the Lord, that I would anoint them and I would help them, and Lord, that I would use them. You can pray. Sunday school. children's meetings, and the list goes on and on. Lord, what would I have me to do? See, God wants us to work. This is the reason that we should work. Because we're God's servants, remember. And a servant is one that works. But the reason we can say that we should work too is that people will be saved. Now I know that God is sovereign. And I know the Lord will save his people from his sins. But not only that, God has chosen the very method whereby men and women will come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And what is it? It's by using the labours of his people. The Lord uses his people to carry the gospel all over the world. That's why the Lord Jesus said to his disciples, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every kingdom. Why did the Lord say to his disciples, get into all the world and preach? Because he realized this was the way people would be saved. It tells that over in 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 21. It said to please God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. And so it is through the preaching of the gospel and the testimony of God's people and telling people about Christ and the preaching of the word of God that people are saved. And the Apostle Paul was one who traveled all over the world preaching the gospel so that people would be saved. And that's why we must work. That is why. And I can say this, if there's no work, there'll be no souls saved, because both go hand in hand. Imagine having a meeting in this church. You never advertised it. You never gave out an invitation. You never held a prayer meeting. You never asked anybody to come in. Some chance of people getting saved. Friends, we must work. We must work because it is God's appointed way. That's why it's all there in the parable of the sower out and he sowed the seed. The picture of the one going out and preaching the gospel and then the seed growing up and bringing forth fruit. There'll be no spiritual harvest unless we first sow the seed. We must work. And all the reason you and I, child of God, should work is that God expects us to do something. Come to the prayer meetings, or whatever it may be, but all that we would be instrumental in the hands of God in seeing people saved. Yes, hell is filling up. All around us, many is falling down into this pit. And all that you and I would say, I must work, I must do all I can to reach those people with the gospel that will bring them to heaven and give them life everlasting. We must work. The reason that we must work, God expects us. And not only that, that sinners would be saved. But also the restriction of his work is seen there, because he said there, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day, the night cometh when no man can work. And that's what the Lord Jesus said. You see, he knew that his day upon this earth would soon be over. And he realized he was only here for this particular time, and he was going to work. And he realized he had to work while it was day, because he realized a night was coming. And notice those words. When no man, no man, dear friends, can work. You know, it's the same with you and I. There is a restriction in our work. You and I can only serve God while it is day. Why, perhaps it's the day of some people here of their youth. Day of health. Day of opportunity. Because look at what it says here. The night cometh. And dear child of God, in this meeting, the night is coming for all of us. The night of death is coming. And we'll not be able to serve God. We've only one opportunity to do it. Only one opportunity to serve God. And before we're drawn out to stand before one opportunity, because the night's come, will I not be able to preach again? You'll not be able to sing. You'll not be able to witness. You see, there is a restriction of our work. The night cometh when no man can work. Speaking about God's eternal day. When God comes to bring his old age right to an end. And all his work of his servants is completed. And every last sinner is saved. And God closes the books. Friends, only one opportunity. We can say a time lost cannot be found again. Oh, let's do what we can for the Lord Jesus Christ. Because this dark, this eternal night is coming. And the day of opportunity of serving the Lord is over. And child of God, remember this. And the one that keeps me going all through my work. Every man shall give an account of himself to God. Remember that. All of us in this meeting will stand before the Lord someday and give an account, one of our work. Of our work for the Lord. And if you have been idle, if you have been slack, then what do you want to say to God? Yes, friends, the restriction of this work. Can we say a word to him and say, if you're the one that we're working to seek to be brought to Christ, you're here this morning, and your sins are still on that broad road. Oh, turn to Christ, because the night's coming. Your day of opportunity will be over, and you'll be lost. And think about the work that God's people in this place has put in for thee, for you. They have prayed in their prayer meetings. They have asked you to come to gospel missions. They have given you gospel tracts. They have opened up the Bible, and they have warned you about your soul, and all that work may go down the drain if you don't come to Christ. Oh, child of God, let us on. The new term of meetings all over our churches will be starting. Man, isn't it great to serve the Lord? Do something for the Lord this year. Make it into your heart. See the elders, see the minister of the church, and say, I'm going to do something. May only be one night a week. May only be 2 hours a week, perhaps some night. But you're still working. It's not great. And you know it'll bring a great blessing to your heart. And a great joy to see wee boys and girls coming to Christ, and people in the district, people in your family. That you and I would say to Christ, I must work. The works of him that sent me while is dead, the night cometh. And no man can work. May God bless his word to our hearts today. Let's just look. Father in heaven, we pray that thou hast spoken to hearts. And there's even the people in this congregation from this day forth will say, I must work the works of him that sent me while this day. The night cometh when no man can work. Lord, touch hearts, we pray. Help all your children to do something for thee. And save a lost amongst us. Bring us now to our homes in safety. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.